Good morning. It's wonderful to be here, wonderful to see you all. Please join me in going to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to join together and glorify your name, to learn and grow in your word. Lord, I ask that all that hear your word today are led by the Holy Spirit to grow in your word, to learn your word, and apply your word to their life. It's in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 45. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The title of the message that I've prepared, it's called Up Close and Personal, and it does take on several meanings. And although it does sound specific, you may have correctly thought already will include the interactions of those with our Savior after the resurrection, which leads to the study concerning the Great Commission. We can't, however, jump directly into that without discussing things concerning the unity in the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit that does truly unify our church, us personally, individually, and collectively, as well as our own testimony of the blessings we've received that allow us to mature to where we are now. This all starts with each and every one that is here. Everybody's very personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For these relationships to grow, there must be a submission to the Holy Spirit and his working ministry. The working ministry that's in each and every one of us. Upon salvation, the Holy Spirit gives each one of us gifts. These gifts are not naturally born talents, nor are they gifts that are based on our own desires or interests. The Holy Spirit chooses those gifts for us. Now, none of us will receive all the gifts, nor all the same exact gifts. One might have the gift of teaching, where another has the gift of discernment, or comfort, or evangelism, and so forth. There are at least 20 very specific gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, and many who receive their gifts don't recognize their gifts right away. But the more we submit to the Holy Spirit's ministry within us and seek his guidance and direction, the more that will be revealed to us. But we must submit, trust, and obey. And when I look out at all of you, believe it or not, I can and have seen many of your gifts up close and personal. And I can tell you that that alone has been and continues to be a huge blessing to me. And I don't feel comfortable about revealing anyone's gifts publicly or even privately. I do at times go directly to very specific people, depending on the circumstances, because I do recognize the gifts that you have. And having that understanding about ourselves and each other gives us a better understanding in regard to the body of Christ, of which we are all part of. We are not to be envious of each other's gifts, nor prideful of our own. We are not to seek gifts that are not given to us. For the Holy Spirit is the only one that decides what gifts we receive. This does not mean that you shouldn't get involved in areas in which you haven't received certain gifts either. For example, all of us will not be given the gift of evangelizing, but we all can and should give testimony of what Christ has done for us and invite others to church. Next, I would like to give you a short list of examples of the gifts that are listed. Not all of the gifts, but some of the gifts, so that we can get on the same page of what these gifts are like. And then I want to go to the scriptures to ensure you that all of what I've said is direction given by the Lord and not simply an opinion, specifically my opinion. And we should all make a habit of checking the scriptures on everything that we hear to make sure that it is the truth anyway. Check the scriptures and be like the Bereans. That's a term that most people have heard quite a few different times over the years. But for anyone that's unfamiliar, while Paul was traveling to many distant places sharing the gospel, it was the Bereans who listened and then went back to the scriptures to make sure that what they heard was true. So that's what that statement's all about, to be like the Bereans. Some of the gifts or empowerments believers receive from the anointing of the Spirit upon the moment of salvation include the following: the empowerment for preaching, ministry, joy, understanding of Scripture, knowledge, wisdom, discernment, giving, exhortation, service, mercy, administration, faith, hope, love, evangelism, teaching, and pastoring/teaching. This is a partial list, but all of these and more are all cited in the Bible. And we aren't going to take a look at each and every one, but we will take a look at a few. Now, all have the purpose, of course, in glorifying God. And to address a few of these, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, or simply listen. It's a short verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, focusing on teachers and pastors/teachers, it should be noted that the two were joined together in the Greek, meaning that not every teacher is a pastor, but every pastor is indeed a teacher. This should be very noteworthy to everyone here because of our current situation in looking for a new pastor. A proper candidate needs to be able to teach the truth of God's word extremely well and properly. However, just because he can doesn't mean that he is a pastor. He needs to be able to do other things as well. We will be looking at these things in detail in the very near future to try and prepare us for some decisions, hopefully, that we will have the luxury of making in the near future. For today, however, let's look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Perfecting of the saints is a reference to those who believe. It's a reference to us and our increasing Christian maturity. For the work of the ministry, the Holy Spirit's ministry that is busy within each of us for the purpose of perfecting, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Again, still referring to you and I, only now collectively in the body of Christ. Now, our collective maturity and growth, we are to submit to the Holy Spirit, recognize the gifts given not only to us, but to others, respect all gifts with the understanding that they are all equally important and that no one will receive them all. They are to be used to glorify God, not ourselves or others. Done correctly, the body of Christ will be in perfect harmony. For this, another element needs to be included. Now, last week, I had mentioned the two great commands that included loving God with all your heart, and secondly, loving each other like yourselves. When all of God's word is put together and applied, what we have is something very wonderful that truly does glorify God. The message that I'm giving could, I suppose, be given to a group to lecture them in their error of their ways. However, that's not the intention today. My intention of this message is very, very different. We have followed the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, we are very well grounded in the Word of God. Our focus has been on God and glorifying Him. We have received Christian growth and maturity. And because of that, we have received many, many blessings. And where we are as a church group is at a very pivotal point, and I've seen this in many different churches. And we must do all that's necessary to ensure that we don't become stagnant after reaching this point, or even worse, possibly backslide. The enemy would like for nothing better than that to happen. And the approach that we must take is to move forward. Allow the Holy Spirit to propel us in the body of Christ in a new heightened level to glorify our Lord, a level that sadly many churches never reach. We have a wonderful group, although we might be short in numbers. We have a wonderful heart. So the information being shared today is not simply to expand your knowledge, but also that it might be applied to your life and to the life of our church body. Now, I will let the scriptures explain it better than I can. Staying in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go back to verses 1 through 7. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, although we are many unique individuals, we are to be one. Our church body as one. And there are also many other flocks outside and throughout our area, throughout the United States, and ultimately throughout the world, all of which collectively are to be one in the body of Christ. All of which starts with a sinner turning to our Lord, becoming a believer, gaining salvation, receiving the gifts, submitting to the Holy Spirit, maturing in the Word of God, utilizing those gifts to help build up the church body so that the church body further matures, so that the gospel is spread throughout, adding to the whole body of Christ, and that God is indeed glorified. You know, when I look out and about, there's church hoppers that can add or take away from the numbers in any given church. That doesn't necessarily glorify God. It doesn't add to the body of Christ. They are simply moving from one flock to another. When non-believers make it to church, that also may not necessarily glorify God either, even though the numbers go up. But when a non-believer reaches salvation, becomes a believer, turns himself over to the Savior, becomes part of the body of Christ, then all the angels in heaven rejoice, and God is truly glorified. When it comes to gifts, it is equally, if not more important, to learn and understand the severity of misusing gifts. So I want to go over some of these for your understanding of your own gifts. And the first misuse is in not using your gift. As we see in 1 Corinthians, we're going to be in Corinthians for a bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 6 and 7 reads, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." So all are given to be used to glorify God and enhance others in their walk with the Lord. So you can therefore cause the entire church to suffer by holding back, by suppressing the gifts that you're given. Others will suffer because of it. We need to recognize the vital role that God has given us and not envy the gifts of others. So we continue to read in verses 11 and 12, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that are one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. It is also important not to feel like your gift is the most or least important. That will lead to one being prideful, or just the opposite, feeling inferior. Both are harmful and can do damage to the church body. Our Lord has given us instruction in regard to this, as we read in verses 18 through 24, as we get into more detail. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now all they, many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need for thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. God is in control. We must never use our gifts to edify or exalt ourselves. They are to be used in love to edify others and glorify God. The point is covered a great deal in Scripture, including in the verses we just read, and also the entire chapter 13. The verses that I chose to expand on today is chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I chose those verses because it does touch on a gift that was one of the temporary gifts given during the early church age. The point, however, is universal to all gifts. It does allow me to have the opportunity to point out that there were many temporary gifts, and there was very specific reasons for those gifts that are no longer given. That's a topic for another day, but worth mentioning. Now, there's only a couple more misuses, and then we can move on. But they are very important points. We are not to seek gifts that we view as more desirable. The gifts that each has been given are to be received well and without yearning or looking for something different. If this were to happen, then the body of Christ would be lacking and suffering instead of being whole. This is explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 17 and 19. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Be an incomplete body, be lacking. Lastly, it is also a mistake to serve only in the area of our gift. For example, not all will be given the gift of giving, but we should certainly all give. Not all are going to be given the gift of service, such as a deacon, but all are to serve and lend a hand. All that has been covered concerns unity in the body of Christ through passing conversation is pleasant to hear because the concept of our earthly viewpoint means less bickering, arguing, division, and so forth. It means a nicer atmosphere for all of us. If we were to ignore the direction, application, and submission that is required through God's wisdom, and not our own, then the vast majority of the purpose is sadly lost. Submitting to the Holy Spirit and allowing His ministry to guide us, to guide you as an individual, while knowing that He is also doing the same for all the individuals around you, forms that unity in the body of Christ and the church body and builds that further unity throughout the world. We must allow the Holy Spirit to be the organizer and the director of all, because it is God who is in control, not us. We need to get up close and personal with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This will enable us to follow His commands to the fullest degree in the way He intended. So far, I've mentioned two of the three commands that were brought up last week. The third concerns the Great Commission, which brings us to a second meaning of up close and personal. It was the resurrected Christ that delivered these instructions to many in a very up close and personal manner. Reading from Luke 24, 46 through 49, we read exactly what Jesus commanded them to do and what we are to do as well. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be prepared or should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued from the power from on high. That's in reference to the Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit was poured out into all of them. Now, this is an introduction to these commands, but it will be looked at in detail soon, and not necessarily from me. I would like to conclude that another quick point of view and third interpretation to the phrase up close and personal. If we as individuals and collectively are to take the word of God very seriously, and more specifically follow the Savior's commands regarding the Great Commission, then we will indeed need to get up close and personal with others. Others who are also in the body of Christ, as well as many non-believers who have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that true sincerity is in our hearts, then we must seek the Lord through prayer to provide the guidance and the ability to recognize the opportunities as presented to us, to give us strength, courage, and proper message to deliver when the opportunities are indeed presented. Now, today is Communion Sunday, and it's an excellent time to go to the Lord in prayer, a time to make yourself right with the Lord, a time to submit to the Holy Spirit's ministry and request that all the gifts he has given you are revealed and strengthened, all to glorify God, a time to ask for direction and guidance. So please join me in a few moments of silent prayer. Let's go to our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer first to ask forgiveness for any and all of our sins, anything that we have done possibly inadvertently that could have displeased you in any way. And also, Lord, we come to you asking you to give us the strength and comfort and the direction that's necessary to glorify your name. Lord, I ask a blessing on everyone who is here, that the Holy Spirit lifts them up, gives them joy, comfort, and direction in knowing and understanding your word. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.